On Paths by Cliff Crego, Part 1. The pass is clearly in view, but the way, how impossibly confused. Natural History. I pick up the axe and in a split second cleave the trees slowly grown past time line back into the present. Wood metal sound, and I feel the awe of Peking man flow through me. It is listening to these sounds that keeps the sacred fire alive. Special Delivery. Every day when I go out to get the mail, I feel a secret desire to find a letter that will change my life. I think it's time I wrote that letter myself. Getting ready. Getting ready, sorting gear, trying to prepare myself for every eventuality as the day of departure recedes further and further into the distance. The waiting room. The electronic door snaps open, first retreating, 1 foot reluctantly crossing over into the uncertain cleanliness of shadowless spaces, the other soothed into surrender by the soft rounded sounds of a mechanical movement of air. The little room is empty. Was the music on before I entered? If no one is listening, does it exist? Suddenly, a smile slides open, registering identity. I murmur something quickly as the smile folds back into the blankness of the white wall. Sitting, waiting. So striking how we first sweep the life out of a space and then try to fill it with half-hearted gestures. Primal recollections, our way of secretly sharing with each other how utterly wrong this all is. Calendar photos of distant places, magazines overflowing with healthy, happy faces. Implants. Ah, yes. The obligatory plant in the corner. Real or plastic? The question of our time. The next step of evolution, the natural imitation of artificial life, a camouflage to protect from the loneliness of neglect. Difficulties. On the way, it's very difficult not to lose things, but even harder not to pick up more than you need. The color of time. Losing one's youth is losing the illusion of control over one's body. Looking in the mirror, I feel alive, vibrating, but all those gray hairs, uninvited visitors who have come to stay. End of season. So strange, the beautiful, quiet land with so many empty chairs. Stone mountains. If one carries the mountain in one's heart, to pick up the stone is to pick up the mountain, the world. But for us, a stone is just a stone and nothing more, just so much dead weight, like a pack which grows heavier with each passing step. Halfway up, half broken, turning back, and the sound of stone mountains just is in the wind. The slip coming down a steep icy path, a slip instantly corrected, forgotten, moving on. Why can't I live like that? One morning the mountain farmer goes out to milk his goats and never comes back. A quiet stream leaps from the edge of a high granite cliff and disappears into the late summer air. Sitting in an alpine meadow, more flowers than grass, the sound of delicate bells rings out, wave after wave, from the metal which sleeps in rocks. The professor, red socks tucked into impeccable gray-green knickers, relaxed, confident, with the refined fingers of a concert pianist. Tapping with his cane, he gives just the right emphasis to his last remark. Beautiful mountains, these, but too many rocks. The other way around, walking down with his lambs, about 20 of them, all male, still covered with the crusty manure of the winter barn, round as a bear, dressed from head to toe in second-hand army wool that he wears like fur. Standing in the middle of the cold, fast-flowing stream, big-bearded smile, he kicks the lambs across one by one, puffing on his pipe. All the while, he tells me, my wife used to come here with the goats as a child. Once they brought a priest from the village below to bless the spring. She's always said, it's the other way around. It's the spring that blesses us. The Botanical Gardens. 1. How nice. There's gentian and anemone. Old friends. Unpaid vacation. 2. After a while, I've noticed that I tend to read the signs first. Pilgrims, not yet far from home, the full bus drives straight across the spring with healing waters without a name. The spring. The cowherd pointed on the map and said, if you can find it, you must visit the spring. The water there is very mysterious. Years ago, they wanted to sell it, but it burst the bottles every time. The well. At the village center, a woman fetches water from a well. She tells me, all my life the flow of this water has never changed. It was constant during the war and when my sons did not return, and it was constant during the time they built the road and then the dam. Even during the winter of 51, it did not freeze. But last spring, for the first time in my life, it was silent for 7 days, and then ran muddy for weeks after that. This well never did that before. Every valley remembers two neighbors working, tapping out the blade, the complementary rhythms of twos and threes. Distance in a summer breeze do strange things to sound. The sharp tang of heavy hammer on anvil planted on heavy rock. The delicate edge moves slowly round the tapping of the blade, a new moon moving from east to west. Higher on the mountain, silver consonants ricochet off nameless steep granite walls. Wide awake, noon rest finished, these sounds were not made today. Here, on the way, many beautiful camps offer themselves for the night, but to know when to keep walking and when to stay, and after stopping, to know without a doubt that this place where one stands, here I am at home. More than three. My three loves, music, poetry, philosophy, lie nested together side by side, like the three nuts in the chestnut's prickly husk. Together as one, they are more than three. Better not to give this one a name. A village cafe, sitting at a table, sharing stories in a small cafe. Round ripples of laughter resonate in the wine. Four glasses, one movement. The toad. A little toad, not more than half a thumb big, goes hop, 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 hop. Our ways cross, same path.